really needed words to capture 1,000 moments in which we are overcome by the intricacies of God's creation, by the way in which wind intersects a bird's wing and creates flight, or a field of grass waves under the direction of God, the choreographer. These are all moments in which God provides moments of sanity in the midst of the utter insanity of our current behavior for all that is. The peaceful stream, the dancing leaf, the breeze that rollicks in the grain, the warmth of sun, the towering wave, the cool refreshment of the rain. We thank you, O God. We catch our breath at your glory. We fall to our knees in adoration. We thank you, O God. The touch of grace, the hint of heaven, the healing balm that eases pain, the broken bread, the sacred cup, the sacrifice we can't explain. We thank you, O God. We catch our breath at your glory. We fall to our knees in adoration. We thank you, O God. The birthing breath, the dying sigh, the holy cycle you ordain. For every second, for every instant, we give you thanks, O God.
Praise God. Now that you've given your gifts of tithes and offerings to God, will you give the gift of peace to those around you?
Stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle wide.
You may be seated. As we go to God in prayer this morning, continue to remember our prayer list. In our bulletin, but also others that we may have in the life of the church. Also, as this morning, just feel led to do this again. I've done this before. Grab somebody's hand next to you because you don't know what somebody's going through right now. We have people in the lives of our church that are going through struggles and doctor things and appointments and so many different things. And I believe in faith. Someone hold a hand with Leanne over here. Somebody reach over. Thank you. God is powerful. And if we believe in faith, and I believe, that God can do all things. God, we come to you this morning and we are reaching out to you in faith, trusting, knowing that this world has given reports. Knowing that this world has given us something that we didn't want to have to deal with, but yet, in faith, we believe in you. Holy God, send your Holy Spirit into this room, into every person. Move in a mighty way Where there's brokenness, I pray that you bring wholeness. Where we don't feel loved, I pray your love fills us full. And so, God, as we come to you, we put ourselves on the altar and say, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, as we come to you also in this moment of silence, speak deeply to our hearts. And let us remember that amazing prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night.
Please stand as you're able for the reading of God's word this morning. Found in Luke 10, verses 30 through 37, and says this: Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you for what more you spent.' Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray this morning. Lord God, as you speak to us this morning through your word, I pray, Lord God, that as always that you not just challenge us, but God, that you transform us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand the calling that is in our lives from your Son, Jesus. And help us to live into that, God. Holy Spirit, have the freedom to do what you need to do in this space. Move in and out of our body and pray, Lord God, that you would open up our hearts and our ears to hear. Holy God, I pray this morning that you would change us and not leave us the exact same. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we started a series a couple weeks ago talking about this word here, called. And each one of us, I don't know if you realize, that we have been called to a purpose in our life. As we follow Jesus Christ, we are called to be a part of something that truly is bigger than we are. We started talking about we're called to serve, and we are. We're called to serve as Christ served. Well, and then last week, we talked about how we are called to be a part of something even more amazing in Jesus. That we're called to make God's kingdom happen here and now. And how are we doing that? How are we living into this calling? How are we living to care for others who need to be cared for? Well, then realizing this is that we have been called because it's not because I'm telling you, and it's not because I've been called to be a pastor. We are all called. In fact, Scripture tells us this, and this will be on your screen. I want you to read it with me again. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. You and I are called. We are called to be people who make God's kingdom happen today. And whether that's service, whether that's caring, or today, being generous. Now, I know, we look at this story and we go, how does this relate to generosity? Well, I want to give you a picture of how these three people in this story expressed how their generosity lived through their life. Now, hopefully we've heard this story. Hopefully it's familiar to you. If it's not, this will be a sort of a recap of this. It starts off with three people, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Now, how about you? That sounds like a bad joke already. Speaking of that, there are three guys in the desert, and their car broke down, and all three of them got out of the car and had to walk to their next destination. They all decided to grab an item to take with them on their journey. One guy got a jug of water. The other guy got a sandwich. The other guy grabbed a car door. The three guys said, well, so why did you bring that? He goes, well, if I figure if we get thirsty, I'll have water. We can all have something to drink. Great. The other guy said, well, I brought a sandwich. You never know. We might get hungry, and we'll have the sandwich to eat. And the other guys looked at the other guy and said, why did you bring the car door? He says, well, if it gets hot, I'll roll down the window. Oh. Don't even. You laughed. Okay, good. That's a first. All right, so today we're going to talk about being generous. And I know being generous in our life is something that, you know, we talk some about in churches, but here's what I believe is I believe that as we live this life in Christ, we are called to be the most generous of anyone else. And the overcompassing kind of thing to that is that because we have the most generous person in our lives that has ever lived. Y'all know his name, right? You ever heard of him? Yeah, Jesus. And because of Christ's generosity, we should also be generous. Generosity is the quality of being plentiful, the quality of being kind, understanding, and not selfish. Now, I understand Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and hopefully we will be generous and plentiful at Thanksgiving. I don't know about you. Usually my table in my house, there's way more food than I could ever eat. And it's also a time and a season, a lot of times we're very generous of how we treat our families. Now, I'm not going to talk about Black Friday because a lot of times we don't look so generous there. A lot of times our Black Friday shopping is the total opposite of being generous. It's more like a UFC fight. I've seen it. We also struggle with being generous because we wonder what it's going to cost me if I pour out. Well, these three guys in this story walk by somebody who has been hurt. He lays there, and again, a priest walks by. Now, this priest is someone who's been entrusted, who has been given the ability to do all things, to make atonement for people, for himself, for his family, to offer meal offerings for the people and the population, has been given everything. The Levite is the one who's responsible for the worship of God, educating and blessing the sacrifices of God. And then the Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile. In essence, were considered unclean by Jewish law. But yet, Jesus asked this question: which one was the most generous? Which one actually lived a generous lifestyle? And of course, he says, well, the Samaritan did. Our thing is that when it comes to what we have three different things that happen to what we have. The first thing is that we take. The priest who walks by and just ignores him on the other side of the road has been given everything that he could ever need. Not just food to eat, but financially the priest was given everything he ever did. And all he did was represented to us what it means to take of everything given to us and not give it back to someone who has need. Now, I hope that we don't live that kind of lifestyle. I hope we don't learn this and realize that we're not here to earn just so we can take because it's ours. We earn so that we could give away. Well, then the Levite comes along. And the Levite also sees the man laying in the road, beaten, and passes by on the other side. And what he represents to us is we keep what we take. The Levite, responsible for leading worship, performing sacrificial services, kept going on by and just kept everything that had been given to him instead of giving it away to this man who had need. But what I love about this story is that this is a representation of how we should look when it comes to giving of ourselves. We don't want to get in the mode of taking and keeping. We want to make sure that we are living by what God says in our word to give as our heart is compelled to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, and will abound in every good work. You see, the third thing we do with our things is we give. That is living a generous lifestyle, and our generosity comes from God. Our generosity comes because of what God has given to us. I mean, think about it. This guy, the Samaritan, was an enemy, unclean, and yet he is the one that stopped and out of everything that he had, bandaged, put oil on the wounds, put him on his own animal, took him to the town, put him up for keep to take care of, gave his money, and someone he didn't even know. Had no idea who this guy was, but knew out of the generosity of his heart that he had to. And what if the church lived a generous lifestyle that out of what God pours into us, we pour back out into others? Because it's been given to us. For God so loved the world that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were bent and broken, Christ still died for you and me. That is the representation of generosity. And in generosity, we have to learn to take risks. That's your next fill-in if you're doing those. The Samaritan took a risk. He took a risk, seeing this person in the road, seeing who this person was and the need that he had, took a risk and took care of him, took a risk and poured into him, and not expecting anything in return. Remember, he took him to the inn and told the innkeeper, take care of him. And then if you spend any extra, I will make sure to reimburse you back. Did not want gratitude, did not want thanks, because he was called, he was compelled to be generous. So what does it take for us? I mean, honestly, what does it take for you and me to live in a life where we are called to be generous? What are we called to do with this life that we have? However short or long it may be here on earth. I want you to say these words with me. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. All right, one more time. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. This is your three things of how we are called to do. The first thing in. Shoulda is the committed. I should have been generous. I shoulda been given as I am asked or told to give, as Scripture tells me. That's that Malachi 3:10 passage. Bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, that my house may be full, that God will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out into you. That is, I should have been generous with my life. I should have been just committed to do what God has called me to do. Or maybe we're at the level I could have. This is that above and beyond. This is that generous lifestyle like the Samaritan was living into. I'm not called just to give because Christ called me to give, but I am giving of the blessing as God has poured into my life. It's a generous lifestyle. It's a heart of compassion and a heart that is focused on the mission and vision of where God is taking the church to. It's seeing that there's something bigger and better, and I want to be a part of it. And what's going on? Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it will be measured to you. I don't know where you're at. Maybe it's just shoulda. Hopefully you're at least there. Or maybe it's coulda. I'm going a little above and beyond, God, and pour out. Or maybe it's that Christ-like heart. Woulda. That's sacrificial. That kind of generosity hurts. That kind of generosity is a little painful. That's the kind of generosity that's going to take a little more. It's going to take a little more faith. It means that I'm putting all my trust in you, God, with this life I've been given. I am going to trust you, God, as I give sacrificially to you, that you will take care of my needs. You notice I didn't say once. Give me today our daily bread. How can I make God's kingdom happen right now? And may God, may you take me to a place where I'm sacrificial in my giving, where I give because you gave first. I go to CrossFit. Anybody know that? 3 to 4 days a week, about an hour. It's sacrificial. It is definitely sacrificial. And I leave the sacrificial sweat usually on the floor. And it is, because we thought about it almost a year and a half ago when I started on this train of losing weight. I was like, yes, it's a lot of money. Yes, it hurts. In fact, here's one of my workouts. This was from last week on Thursday, I think. I did a whole thing and also a half of another one. But here's the thing, it's sacrificial. I'm sacrificing my body to get better because I don't want to be the same way as I get older. I'm turning 50 next year. Do y'all know that?
Whoa.
Half a hondo. Y'all, right? And so when I'm older in age, then, and when this one right here has grandkids a long time from now, I want to be the cool granddad. I want to go out hiking and biking, and I want to go out and hang out. I want to go out and play golf. I want to go out and boating and fishing. But it takes sacrifice to make this imperfect thing a little better. But see, that's the same thing for us when it comes to our generosity. It calls for us to sacrifice. It calls for us, as we go into this season of Thanksgiving, that our thanksgiving generates generosity. And not because of the season, but because of what Christ has done. Because we journey being thankful for what God has done. Yesterday was just an example of your sacrificial generosity. Do you realize that? Some of you probably still have some aches and pains from standing up, yeah, or lifting bags. But you sacrificed your own Saturday afternoon, your wants, your desires, things you could be doing. And you sacrificed why? To help kids. To help families that don't have food every day, like you and me do. That is the Samaritan way. That is sacrificial. That is saying, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And because your son gave and was sacrificial, I too pour out to you. So the question I leave with you, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus was generous with his life. Shouldn't we be also? Let's pray. God, a life of generosity looks at, it's not about me, it's about you. Now, God, I know the world wants to flip that around and say it's about us and not about anything else. But what if those who believe in you said, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking that. I live by a different standard. And God, let us be sacrificial and give to you because we see where you're going. We see the lives you're changing. We see the transformation happening in families. We see healings happening. Well, God, I want to give to that. I want to give to that because you are making a difference. Help us, Lord God, to change our heart. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join with us in singing stanzas 1 and 2 of 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Would you stand, please?
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Before you, I have Charles and Mary Lee Atkins who have come and to link hands with us here at Rehoboth United Methodist. We're excited. We are inviting family and friends to come down and hang out with you because this is important in the life of the church. Oh, here goes John. Charles Mary Lee, do you promise with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness to give not just to Rehoboth, but really to God in heaven? Do you promise to do that? Say, I do. Welcome to our Rehoboth family. I'm glad to have you. What I would encourage you to do, I'll give you the benediction, and as we go out, I'm going to have them come with me, and please come and welcome them warmly this morning. Receive this. May the God who gives you hope, may the God who restores your soul, may the God who gives you power through the Holy Spirit send you forth to be generous with others. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the time.